Unstoppable, yes. Coming up in a few seconds is a very, very special space show.
The best variety on your radio, 88.3 Southern FM.
Yes, and we have a message from Rosetta, in fact, from Philae.
Rosetta, now it's time to rise. It's your time to shine and come back to life. So wake up, sleeping satellite. Wake up, Rosetta.
Yes, welcome to the Space Show, presented by members of the Space Association of Australia. Hello, I'm Andrew Rennie. On this evening's The Space Show, yes, Philae is awake again, and we turn the clock back 45 years to when Woomera was a bustling spaceport. Well, after 211 days of hibernation, the Philae lander on the surface of comet Gerasimenko-Churyumov has woken up. Now, Rosetta is the orbiter, and since April the 8th has been ranging in distance between 90 and 210 kilometres from the comet. Now, earlier it had been orbiting as close as 10 kilometres from the comet. Now, the retreat was necessary earlier this year because the star trackers were confused by dust from the comet, and this caused loss of stabilisation and pointing accuracy. Now, during the March 28 flyby at 14 kilometres, hundreds of false stars confused Rosetta. Now, the lander, Philae, landed there last November, and for Philae to wake up, it needed at least 5.5 watts of solar energy, and it needed to have the internal temperature raised to above negative 45 degrees Celsius. And to communicate back to Earth via the Rosetta spacecraft, it needed 19 watts of power. Well, we are going to sort of ease our way into the interesting story of what's happened to Philae, and the very latest find results come from Germany with this track from Chiara Bernardelli, and she lives in Glasgow in the United Kingdom and wrote this song about Rosetta and Philae. It's called Deep Space Hibernation.
Two whole years resting.
Chiara, who comes from Glasgow in the United Kingdom with Deep Space Hibernation. And it was a live performance, well, recorded live at the time. And she's singing about Rosetta and Philae. Well, the original touchdown point for Philae was a place called Ajorkaya, but it bounced, and the final touchdown point was now named as Abydos. Now, the landing was on November 12 last year, and the shutdown was on November the 15th when the battery of Philae was exhausted after 60 hours on the surface. It had time to do many measurements, in fact, pretty much what it had been designed to do, and to get those back to Earth. Well, the comet is in orbit around the Sun and will pass through perihelion, that is the closest point to the Sun, on August the 13th at 186 million kilometers. That means that the comet is coming closer and closer to the Sun at the moment. Now, on Philae, the harpoons that were supposed to anchor it to the surface did not deploy, and the ice screws did not get a firm grip, and that allowed the two-hour flight from Ajorkaya to Abydos, including one collision and one more rebound on the way. Now, Philae is sitting on a rough piece of terrain, and it's tilted up against a cliff and is mostly in shadow. Well, the Philae signal via Rosetta was received at the European Space Operations Centre in Darmstadt on June 13 at 22:28 Central European Summer Time. Now, this translates to Sunday, June the 14th, this past Sunday, at 6:28 a.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time. Now, Rosetta had been listening for a signal since March 12 of this year. Now, more than 300 data packets were analysed by teams at the Lander Control Centre at the German Aerospace Centre in Cologne during that first transmission. Philae reported that its operating temperature was negative 35 degrees, and a power of 24 watts was available. Now, Philae was in contact for 85 seconds, and it reported that it had been awake earlier, but had not been able to contact Rosetta. And the reason is, of course, that Rosetta is quite a distance away from the comet at the moment. Now, Philae's mass memory has more than 8,000 data packets waiting to be downloaded back to Earth. Now, when these are received, we'll have more information about what happened to the lander during the hibernation period. On June the 15th, the German Aerospace Center, DLR, reported another message from Philae had been received. This one was on June the 14th and went from 23:22 to 23:26, that's about 4 minutes, Central European Summer Time. Now, Philae sent some data packets, but the connection was unstable. The data acquired during the second contact confirms that Philae is in good condition and is ready for operations. And the temperature inside Philae had already risen to negative 5 Celsius. Well, here's a bit of a rundown on how this signal was received back here on Earth. And all times I'm reading out now are Central European Summer Time. At 22:28, on board Rosetta, the orbiter starts receiving radio signals from Philae, which at that time was 200 kilometres away. Rosetta immediately started relaying the Philae data to the Goldstone Deep Space Antenna in California. At 22:45, after a 16.8-minute travel across the 304 million kilometres, the Rosetta signal arrived in California. It was immediately relayed to the Planetary Missions Control Room at the European Space Operations Centre in Darmstadt, Germany. At 22:46 plus a few seconds, the on-duty spacecraft controller watching telemetry downloading from Rosetta noted some alarms that had been specially set. And we have that alarm recording right here now. The alarm that came set off at the control center to alert the controller that there is a signal from Philae, and the controller confirmed that the signal is real and consulted an action sheet kept on hand at the control desk. Well, at 2300 Central European Standard Summer Time, the Rosetta spacecraft controller telephoned spacecraft operations engineer Jake Urbanek at his home and reported the good news. Well, Jake called the spacecraft operations engineer Amel Hobart at her home. Amel confirms the news by calling the lander team on the prearranged phone number. She also called other team members. And when Amel first received the telephone call, she had just brushed her teeth and was heading off to bed. Seeing that Jake was calling, she must have caller ID or something there, she picked up the phone and said, "This has to be bad news. We've got a safe mode, don't we?" And Jake replied, "Well, maybe not. Maybe it's good news." While the telemetry downloaded covered the lander's status for a full night-day cycle on the comet, that is a 12-hour period. The comet rotates every 12 hours or twice an Earth day. Now, controllers of Rosetta will now need to adapt the orbit of their spacecraft to allow longer contact times of Philae. Commands to do this were uplinked yesterday, with more to follow on Friday. Philae is now receiving at least 3 hours of sunlight per day. Until now, engineers in Cologne had been expecting only 1.3 hours per day of illumination. Before, the team at the German Aerospace Center, DLR, can command Philae, stable and long duration connections to the lander must be established. Only then can the scientific instruments be instructed by newly uploaded computer commands. The order in which the instruments will be activated will be determined once Philae's health has been fully analyzed. First, the non-mechanical instruments will be used. So don't expect any hammering or drilling to take place in those first few days or weeks. Well, going back a little bit, that they still don't know exactly where Philae is on the comet. They're kind of, you know, within a few hundred meters, but they don't know exactly. A search of images that were taken in mid-December from a distance of 18 kilometers have shown some prospective things. The difficulty is the body of Philae is 1 meter across, and the best images from Rosetta had a resolution of 34 centimeters per pixel. That's a third of a meter. Now, at best, Philae would be just 3 pixels across. The problem is the comet has many shiny surfaces of the same size, so there are many candidates. Now, location, using radio signals received by Rosetta from Philae before the batteries died, placed it to an ellipse roughly 16 by 160 metres. And that's just outside of the rim of the Hartmehit Depression. Now, the most promising image shows that Philae could be sitting just outside of that ellipse. Just going back a little bit to last December, when at a scientific conference there was several comments about the prospects of getting Philae out of hibernation, and we'll just hear those comments now.
And Jean-Pierre, you're very confident, are you, that Philae will come back to life? You believe that you will be doing more science with the lander?
Well, you know, it's not a matter of belief, really, in science, as you know. I think we managed to make a very robust system. And although some of the system failed, we are still there. Now, the question of survival, again, which is the only really question of importance, I think is solved to me. That we'll know only when we're there. So I cannot say more than that. We do as if we get prepared for a positive get out of hibernation. Now, what else can I say? We don't know. We do not see anything's broken because all the system worked perfectly. The deployment worked. Everything worked. So really the question is whether or not some of the electronics might suffer from the cold. But we think that most of the things outside already went through very low temperature during hibernation, and that worked very well. Our camera, for example, can run down to minus 150 degrees C, and there are no problem with that. So a lot of our systems were designed to sustain very low temperatures. We knew that we would have to operate in a very low temperature environment. The only question is really the inside, and we have isolated, so the question, it goes both ways. So we have thermal absorbers on the top surface that takes every photon there and modify that. We measured the increase in temperature every time, every daytime during the 4 days we were there. It was very positive. So yes, again, when putting all that together, I think within the team, there is no doubt that we will wake up. And the question is, okay, in which shape? And my suspicion is that we will be in a good shape.
Earlier you were talking about survival, and they had a hard time hearing you. Can you just repeat a little bit what you said earlier, please?
Again, we know that just by approaching the sun, the comet will go to a much better position in a while. And so we are sure that in terms of the energy available, it's just a matter of waiting. And typically by February, March, April, it will be close enough, if anything else change, just to get enough energy to operate normally. So the only question is, do we have the capability to wait until that comes? And the main issue there is thermal. Do we have the capability to sustain the temperatures, which are the present temperatures, although we don't know exactly what they are, actually. And what I said is that given what we measured during the 4 days we were there, the evolution of the temperature there, the extrapolation of that gives us high confidence that we are in an environment should allow us to survive until the energy on the solar panels are back to what we need.
And there we leave our little story on the wake-up of Philae. Yes, I always hoped they'd wake it up. There were doubts at times, but yes, it's awake and intermittent at the moment, but prospects are looking good. Now, as we head up towards 8 o'clock and Purple Haze, we've got some more music about Rosetta. Yes, the spacecraft that's orbiting the comet. This is by Cayenne and celebrates the mission of Rosetta. I'm Andrew Rennie. Coming up in a few moments, Purple Haze.
In my mouth, I need you right now. Translate so I can understand what it means to be a fellow man. Rosetta, distant, disappearing, my sins wandering lost in this fire is to yours. I'm nothing without your words in my mouth. Translate so I can understand.